Okay, we're beginning here at the bottom of Ayinim with Bet, the last line. It says, Amarlei Rabbi Elozer, the Rabbi Yoshia de Darei. So Rabbi Elozer questioned Rabbi Yoshia of his generation. As Rashi points out, that means that this is the Amora, Rabbi Elozer and Rabbi Yoshia, not the Tanaim. Lo teiteva karech, adam farshit le lahamat niton. Please don't sit down on your knees until you explain me this Mishnah. Minayin la Omer, shematir b'hashra. Where do we know that the Omer is matir b'hashra with rooting? How do we know that any type of grain of the Chamesh Adaminim that is already rooted prior to the Omer is matir le gabei chadash. So minayin la Omer, shematir b'hashra, minayin dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Aviv, that you have to bring the Omer from Aviv, from the fresh new crop. La michla dika de la Aviv. Isn't the implication that you can only bring the Omer from the Aviv, but there's other produce out in the fields that are not Aviv, and the Omer will be matir those items? Because well, Dilma the lava Aviv, Olam Dial Shlish. Okay, Aviv means that it's reached its pure maturation and that it is moist and it's the first of the crops, but that does not mean that the opposite of that is something that rooted. The opposite of that can be something that's not Aviv, but yet it's already grown to one third of its maturation. El Amar Shmuel Mehechel Chermesh. Beginning of the harvest. Lav demika lav bar chermish. Isn't that the implication that whatever is taken for Ketzirat Omer is ready to be harvested? That implies that what's remaining out in the fields was not ready to be harvested. And again, the Gemara asked the same question. Okay, maybe it's not ready for Ketzira, for Machal Adam, but it's still Shachat. Still good for Behema, feed for Behema. But that doesn't mean that it's at the point where it just rooted. That's not, again, the opposite of Hechel Chermesh. Is not hashrasha. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Kama. The pasuk says mehechel chamesh bakama lav michnal the lav bar kama. So kama means the standing grains. So isn't the implication of that it's something that's not standing? So Mar says the lav bar kama odiodam agam. So we'll agree again. The opposite of kama, standing grains, is that something that's not standing. The Gemara says maybe it means it's not standing grain. It's not upright yet, but it's agam. Agam, as Rashi points out, is lakuf rosho chazara, that it's grown. It's emerged from the ground already, and you can fold back its top back to touch its base. But that means it's further along than just hashrasha, than rooting. So how do you again know that rooting is the threshold at which the Omer is matir? El Amarova Asher Tizra Mishad Zriya. So then it says in the pasuk v'chagatzir b'kure masecha Asher Tizra. So Asher Tizra sounds like Mishad Zriya. It's already mutar yedeya Omer. So Mar again asks, wait a minute. So Amar le Rav Papa, Rava Yochi Avagav Dol Yishrish. Why do you have to have Hashrasha? Maybe it's enough just to have Zriya planting in the ground. Why are you demanding then there also has to be rooting in the ground? He says back to him, Amar le Sudni Talmidei Chachamim. Rashi says it's a positive term of shame. So the Hashem le Riyav says, you, Mr. Talmud Chacham, Rav Papa, or Lishna Achrina, that Rav Papa was a beer seller, and therefore they called him Sudne, was what the name of the beer sellers were. So he says back to him, Besadeh Ktiv. So that's Achei Niklat V'Nishrash Besadeh, until it's actually rooted into the field. True, it's called Zriya, but Zriya Besadeh. The only way it's called Zriya Besadeh is when it becomes attached or Mechuber to the Sadeh. How does that happen? That comes through rooting. That's how we know that the Omer is Matir, only items that have rooted. The Mishnah says, Kotzrim Beit HaShlachim She'ev HaMakim Avalo Gotshim. So we saw this quoted earlier on, that since the Beit HaShlachim, Rashi brought down two different interpretations there, since either you cannot bring the Omer from the Beit HaShlachim, one, or number two is that if they leave the crops in the Beit HaShlachim, that they will rot, they'll be a Hefzeg Gadol. Therefore they were permitted to do the Ktzirat Beit HaShlachim Sheba Makim, those that were in the valleys, they allowed them to cut even prior to Ktzirat HaOmer. Like there we saw that Tosfos says you need both reasons, you need to be both. Rashi over here seems to be, even though he said Ikar back then was focused on whether you could bring the Omer from that area or not, over here the first thing Rashi says is Kotzrim Beit HaShlachim Sheba Makim Mipnei Shemafsidin Maher. So he brings the Indian of Hefseid back. Later on in the Mishnah, we're going to see that he mentions this idea of you can't bring the Ktzira Tomer from there. Avalo Gotshim, you're not allowed to make them into piles. The Ktzira was allowed because that was the component that would have been nifsad if they didn't allow him to do it. But the Gdisha, which wasn't necessary to protect the fields, they said to abstain, to desist from that type of work in the fields before we take care of the Ktzira Tomer. Anshei Yericho, the Anshei Yericho are famous because they're mentioned in Malkum Shenagu and Psachim, for the fact that they did certain things that either Chazal liked or didn't like, or they did a number of things that Chazal didn't like. The question was, were they objecting or not objecting? We'll see that in the Gemara. They lived in the valleys. They had fields that were Beit HaShlachim, probably were near the springs like in Gedi and Nachal Arugot. So they weren't relying on rainfall, they were relying on the waters from the springs, the field that irrigate the fields. So therefore they were kotzrim bitzon chachamim because they were allowed to do it prior to the Ktzirat Omer. Vigotshim shelo bitzon chachamim. But not, they didn't stop at the Ktzirah, they went ahead and did Gdisha, which was against what the chachamim wanted because they said, kotzrim aval lo gotshim. Velo michu biyadam. On the other hand, even though they were doing it against the will of the chachamim did not publicly object or they didn't give them musar on this. Kotzer the shachat. Person can cut down the grains in his field, the shachat, meaning that for feed, machil the behemah, feed it to the animals. Not fully grown grains, but rather partially grown grains. We'll get back to this about what the machlokas is over here. But that we're allowed to do because it's not competing with ketzirat haomer. Because it's not what would otherwise be good for the omer. It's not a real ketzirah, one of those two options. Because whatever you're doing is not classified as a ketzirah. So Amar Yehuda, Ematai, Bizman Shematchil Achlo Ibishlish. Yehuda says the reason it works here is because it's not Ktsira. It's not classified as Ktsira as long as you're below the 1/3 mark on the grain. Below the 1/3 mark before the Onota Masrot, that's not considered Ktsira, and therefore you're allowed to do it. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Tzorbi Achil Achmish Ibishlish. Shimon says, even if it grows past the Shlish, even if it's past the Onota Masrot, if you do the Ktsira, it's still not classified as Ktsira. Because you're not doing it for the purpose of achilat adam, you're not doing it for the purpose where it's fully nitbashel, it's fully ripened. Because of that, it's considered to be not considered to be a ktsira, and it won't be a problem of doing it prior to the omer.
Even if it's not for an animal,
that we'll see in the Gemara. You have to point it out, but yes, the Gemara is going to discuss that. So now the Gemara says, v'kotzrim mipnei nitiyot. You're allowed to cut down whatever grains are in the way because of nitiyot. So that this is a problem that the grains are hurting the nitiyot, they're hurting the trees that are in the field, and so therefore you're allowed to cut the grain down. And if you think of Rashi, kotzer mipnei nitiyot, v'ishvotu tua ainu ru'uya le'omer. That tua is not ru'uya le'omer. K'damrina perakol akarmanat, ein mivin lo mibet ha'shlachim, lo mibet ha'ilan, lo mistei ha'ilan. So since this was planted b'stei ilan, and therefore he's going to cut it down, and you couldn't have brought the omer from there anyway, therefore the ktsira, even if it is classified as a ktsira, it doesn't matter because it's not something that you could bring the omer from. So you see Rashi going back to the other reason that he had mentioned before, which is that it has to be ru'uya l'omer. Then he mentions the lishna achrino, is that he's cutting them down mishum kilayim, that they were nitiyot, and then there was grain that grew there, and they're cutting it down to prevent it from becoming kilayim. Therefore, the cutting over there is not problematic. You're doing it to preserve or to stop it from becoming kilayim. Kotsu mipnei nitiyot, mipnei beta avel, mipnei bitul beta midrash. If they need extra space for the Beit Avel to do the Nechama, or for the people to sit down and if they bitul Beit Midrash and the extra space for teaching Torah, you're allowed to cut down there because it's a Ktzira Shel Mitzvah and not a Ktzira Shel Rishut, and therefore it's permissible. You could say the same thing about the Nitiyot. If you believe you're talking about Kilayim, then it's Ktzirat Mitzvah because you're preventing it from becoming Kilayim. Lo Yaseh Utan Krichot. When you cut it down, you're not allowed to make them into bundles. Aval Minichim Etzavatim. You're allowed to leave them in piles and bundles that are not tied, but you can't actually bundle them and tie them up. That's not permitted. Mitzvah the omer levo min hakama. The best way, or the chatchila, the omer should become from standing grain. Lo matzah, if you're unable to find standing grain, yavi min hamarim, then you can bring from the piles. Mitzvah do levo min alach. Again, the chatchila, you should bring it from moist, from the new, fresh crops. Lo matzah, if you don't have that, yavi yavish, then you can bring it from the dried out already. Mitzvah do liktzor belayla. The Ikar Mitzvah is to do the harvesting at night. Niksa Bayom Kasher. But if the harvesting is done during the day, it's Kasher. V'dochet HaShabbat. And it's also Dech HaShabbat. Tomorrow maybe we'll discuss the fact that this is one of the big proofs to the Shita the Bahag, that one is allowed to count also during the day. Because you see over here that the Ktzirat Omer, even though it's supposed to be at night, v'di'eved, it's still good during the day. So we'll discuss that tomorrow. Okay, right now, Tanya, Rabbi Binyamin Omer, Ketuv Echad Omer, Ktzartem et Ktzirah, v'itim et Omer. One pasuk says, you do the Ktzirah, you put Tzartem the Ktzirah, and then you bring the Omer. Ktiv, Reshit Ktzirchem el HaKoein. HaKetzad, how do I reconcile between these two psukim? No, one says Ktzartem et Ktzirah, that you do any Ktzirah, that Ktzirah that you do is brought as the Omer. And the other one says, Reshit Ktzirchem, it must be the first Ktzirah. So, makom she'ata mevi, yata kutzer. Makom she'ata mevi, yata kutzer. So the difference is uktzartem ktzirah, eveitem et omer. Anywhere that you can do a ktzirah and bring the omer, then it's problematic because it has to be reshit ktzirchem. The Omer must be the Reshit Ketzirchem. The first pasuk sounds like any Ketzirah will do. Second pasuk says that it's Reshit Ketzirchem. So how do I reconcile that? So anywhere where it's possible to bring it from, that's the first pasuk, is restricted because it needs to be Reshit Ketzirchem. And that's the principle that we've been dealing with, which is there's only a problem of doing Ketzirah where it's a place that could otherwise be brought for the Omer. That's Makom Shata Mevi, place that you could bring the Omer from, Iyata Kutzer. You can't do the Ketzirah because that'll ruin Reshit Ketzirchem. On the other hand, Makom Shiyata Mevi, since it can't be Ketzirah Tamed Ketzirah Vevi Timid Omer, then there's no problem or doesn't violate Reshit Ketzirchem, therefore Ata Kutzer. You can cut it down. Ema, so let us say, why do you have to say it that way? Mimin Shata Mevi Iyata Kutzer. From the species that you bring, you do not count, you don't bring, you're not allowed to do Ketzirah. Mimin Shiyata Mevi, from the species that you don't bring, then at Kotzer, you can cut it down. So the possibility would have been here that you would have said only Seorim are a problem. Since Seorim are what the Minchat Omer comes from, maybe you could only not cut down fields that have Seorim in them. But other fields should be just fine. They're not a breach of Reshit Ketzirchem because you couldn't bring the Omer from those items. So why are you so certain that the Limud from the Pasuk is that you can't cut down in any of these fields? Why don't you say that you can cut in these fields as long as it's not barley? Mar says, lo motzid amart, you can't say that to me, the Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan was at the end of yesterday's daf, where Rabbi Yochanan brought us the Gezer Shava of Ata Reshit Reshit Michala. Just like Bechala it says Reshit Arisutechem, over here it also says Reshit Kitzirchem. And just like Reshit Arisutechem was all five of the minim, so too over here, all five of the Deganim are problematic in terms of doing Tzirah before the Omer. It has to be Reshit Kitzirchem, Reshit to all five of the minim, to all five of the chameshet deganim, and therefore not just barley. Any of the minim cannot be cut down. Have not have ktsira lifnei haomer. Right. So now the Gemara is going to move on to this issue of anshei richo. Gemara says man shmait leidamar michu velo michu. Who's the one who says that the problem with anshei richo was whether the chachamim objected or didn't object? That's Rabbi Yehuda. So that happens to be a machloket in the Gemara and Tzachim. We'll also see it here in a little bit. That Rabbi Meir says that the Breit or the Mishnah should read that there are three things the Chachamim didn't like that Anshei Richo did, and there are three things that Pirtzon Chachamim that they were okay with. That's where Rabbi Meir reads it. Rabbi Yehuda says no. They did not like anything they did. All six things they did were problematic. Shlosha Michu B'dam, Shlosha Lo Michu B'dam. Three of them they were Moche, three of them weren't Moche. So the Gemara is asking, when we're looking at the author of the Mishnah here, it's a Mishnah that says, by Gochim, Shelo Bertzon Chachamim, Avalo Michu. It was not Bertzon Chachamim, but they were not Moche. That's Shita Rabbi Yehuda. This Mishnah reads like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, well, if Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah, of a Sav Rabbi Yehuda, Ktsira Danche Richo, Bertzon Chachamim, Avia? Wait a minute. If Rabbi Yehuda is the author over here, since when does he believe that the Ktsira Danche Richo was Bertzon Chachamim, Avi? Vatanya. Here's the bright, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, this is what it looks like. That's only by Gochim. In our Mishnah, it says Ktsira Asu Bertzon Chachamim, Gochim Shelo Bertzon Chachamim Velo Michu. But now, if you look at the list in Pesachim, that's not what it says. Shisha Dvarim Asu Anshei Richo, Shlosha Bertzon Chachamim, Shlosha Losh Bertzon Chachamim. This is Rabbi Meir's position. Ve'elu She Bertzon Chachamim. These are the three things they did with permission of the Chachamim. Markivim Dikalim Kol Hayom. They used to graft the palm trees all day on Erev Pesach, even though Michatzot Beilech is not supposed to be any melacha done, but it was a Dover Aved, it was a Dover Hefzed, and therefore they did it all the way through Erev Pesach. Vikorchim et Hashma, we'll do that in 1 second, what that means, Korchim et Hashma. Vikotzrim lifnei Omer, and they did Ktsirah before the Omer. That sounds like our Mishnah, where you're allowed to do it, they were Beit HaShlachim, they're allowed to do Ktsirah before the Omer. That's exactly what our Mishnah says. That's Bertzon Chachamim. Ve'elu Shelo Bertzon Chachamim, what do they object to? Gochim lifnei Omer. They were Godesh before the Omer, which is our Mishnah again. Our Mishnah says that they were Godesh Shelo Bertzon Chachamim. Umatirim Gamziot Shel Ekdesh, Shel Charuv V'Shel Shikma. They used to be Matir, the Gidulim, of trees that were Nigdash to Ekdesh, the growth that came afterwards they used to keep in themselves. Or Portzim Pratzot Beginotehem, or Pratzotehem, they used to break breaches in their fields and in their orchards, the achil nesher the anim, to allow the anim to eat from the fruits that fell off the tree, b'shnei batzoret, in years of famine, b'shavatot b'yamim tovim. In Shabbat and Yom Tov, they used to break open their fields and allow the anim to come in and take the fruits that had fallen from the trees on the ground to eat on Shabbat and Yom Tov, which is a problem of muksa. Chazal said that fruits that fall off the tree are mukse shema yitlosh. Because we're afraid if you eat that what's on the ground, you'll come to be tolesh, things that are on the tree. So that we don't want you to do that. Therefore, all the fruits on the ground are considered to be mukse. So they, again, shalom ritzon chachamim, they allowed the aniyim to come in and take this mukse on Shabbat and Yom Tov so they could eat. That's Dibre Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. In Rabbi Meir's position, there are only two sides. It's either ritzon chachamim and shalom ritzon chachamim. So in terms of our Mishnah, he fits fine, except that our Mishnah says, velo michu biyadam. That was the only thing that's not found in the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Yes, kotsrim b'rtzon chachamim, gochim shalom b'rtzon chachamim. But shalom michu b'yadam, that's not part of Shita of Rabbi Meir. So it must be at Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the next piece. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, im b'rtzon chachamim, hein osim, if they're doing it with permission of chachamim, yehen kol adam osim kein. Then why doesn't everybody else do it? Why are only Anshe Yericho doing it if this is what the chachamim wanted? Ela, elu ve'elu, Shalom b'rtzon chachamim. That both were done, all six items were done. Shalom b'rtzon chachamim. Vashlosha michu b'yadam, vashlosha lo michu b'yadam. They objected by three of them. They did not object by the other three. But everything is shalom b'rtzon chachamim. Ve'elu shalom michu b'yadam. These are the items that they were not mokhe b'yadam. Markivim dekalim kol hayom. Korchim et tashma, v'kotzrim v'gotshim lifnei ha'omer. All of these items, they were not mokhe b'yadam. Which is Markivim de Kalim, they were grafting trees on Erev Pesach Kol Yom. Kochim et Hashma again, we'll get to that in one second. Vikotzrim v'kodshim lifnei Omer. Yisru de Ktzirat Omer and Gdishat Omer. Now this means that they're both Shalom Bertzon Chachamim, Elo Shalom Michu B'Yadam. Now Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says Shalom Michu B'Yadam, so he fits into that part of the Mishnah, but he does not say Kotzrim Bertzon Chachamim. He says Kotzrim Shalom Bertzon Chachamim. So that doesn't fit into our Mishnah. These are the items that they did object to, which are matirim gamziot shel ekdesh v'shel charul v'shel shikma. They used to be matir b'ana, the branches that grew on these trees that were dedicated to ekdesh. They used to take that because they said their abuteim, their forefathers only were maktish the korah or the main trunk of these trees, not the growths that came out of it. And therefore they kept the growths and they left the main trunks for Hekdesh. That shall shikma uputzim pratzot biga kinoteim upratosotem pilachil neshulaniim shnei betzorot. Again, what we discussed, that they allowed to open their fields for the neim to come in and eat mukse b'shnei betzorot on Shabbat and Yom Tov. V'notnim peya l'yerek. And they used to give peya to yerek, which seems like a very nice thing. But what the problem is that Yerek does not require peah. Yerek does not require peah because one of the definitions of peah in the Mishnah peah is that they have to be koshu ochel, v'nishmar u'machnis tekiyum. It has to be a food. It has to be nishmar. It has to be stored. V'kiyum, and it lasts for a long time. Vegetables do not last for a long time. And therefore they are not chayav in peah. So they're not chayav in peah, and they went and did it anyway. That was very generous. The problem is the peah is patur mimasrot and trumot. So they were putting out the peyah, and it was now hefker.
They were
mafsid, but they were taking. They weren't taking off. They were machshil people because they were coming to take the peyah, and they weren't shumot or masrot taking off of it. So what's the problem? We know that if you're mafgir or something, it's also not chayav and shumot and masrot. So okay, in ochanami, it's not peyah, but let it be no less than hefker. If it's hefker, you can be matir. Tosfot in Pesachim says that hefker only works when it's hefker le'aniim v'le'ashirim. Hefker only works to be poter you from chewing the masot if it's really hefker. Hefker means that it's hefker le'gamrei. Aniim can take it, ashirim can take it. By peyah, you don't intend for the ashirim to come and take the peyah. You only intend for the aniim to come and take the peyah. Since the aniim are the only ones that are permitted to take it, that's not real hefker. Since it's not real hefker, it's really chayav and trumot and masrot. So that was the problem in the fact that they gave peah the yerek. So now the Gemara says, well, now we're in trouble because we have this kotzrim shalom b'rtzon chachamim, which makes it that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't fit in our Mishnah, even though he's the one who says michu lo michu b'yadam. So Gemara says, no problem, we can take care of that. It says v'litameich shisha shivahavu. According to you, it doesn't work so well. There are really seven items that are enumerated in the pshita of Rabbi Yehuda over here, not six items, because he puts kotzrim and kotzim together. So it says here, shisha dvarim, and then it goes and puts seven. Four that lo michu b'yadam, and three that they were michu b'yadam. So what's the solution to that? Don't worry about it. It was so sami mikan k'tzira. Take out k'tzira. If you take out k'tzira, then there is six. There's three and three. But it also helps you with regards to our Mishnah. Then who's the author of our Mishnah? The author of our Mishnah now is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, being the author of our Mishnah, says that it's Birtzon Chachamim Tzira, Goshim is Shalom Birtzon Chachamim, Velo Michu Biyadam. Velo Michu Biyadam is Shita Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda will be the author of our Mishnah over here. Now, to get back to Korchim et HaShema. Yeah, Korchim et HaShema. So over here, I want to just explain what this Korchim et HaShema is. Korchim et HaShema is mentioned in the Mishnah in Psachim, and the Mishnah in Psachim actually discusses what we just quoted before, the Shisha Dvarim that Anshe Yericho did. Now, the Gemara discusses over there what is it that Korchim et HaShema is. The Gemara in Psachim, and Daf Nun Vav and Aleph, brings down a Machloket Tanaim as well as Amoraim as to what Korchim et HaShema is. It says, Korchim et HaShema, Heichi Abdi. What do they do? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Omrim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Velo ayu mafsikim. Now the truth be, this is an ambiguous statement, which is going to lead to a machloket rishonim about exactly what it means. But Rabbi Yehuda says that the problem here was that they said Shema, velo ayu mafsikim, but they didn't stop. What they didn't stop for, how they didn't stop, that is not explained. Rava Amar, Rava says mafsikim ayu, they did stop. Elashayu omrim ayom al levavecha. They used to say in Vahafta, instead of saying and stopping hayom, and then al levavecha, leaving a little space between them, which makes it sound that you are supposed to love Hashem and keep these items, or keep these dinim that He has given us. So therefore it's hayom, and then al levavecha is where you place them, you place them on your heart. But if you read hayom al levavecha in one shot, it makes it sound like only today do you have to keep these items al levavecha, but other days, no. So the fact that they did not parse the wording in the psukim as ayom and then comma al levavecha made it sound like ayom al levavecha v'lo lemachar al levavecha. Tamashma ayom al levavecha v'lo lemachar al levavecha. Tanur banan. So now we have that was a machloket amorayim as to what it was. Now we have machloket tanaim. Keitzad koyochim et hashma omrim shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad v'lo ayom mafsikim divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir's shita is similar to what was said by Rabbi Yehuda before. That they said Shema Yisrael, v'lo ayam mafsikim. They were not mafsik. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tan Rabbi Yehuda, mafsikim ayu. They do mafsik. Ela, shlo ayu omrim baruch shem kevod malchuto leolam ve'ed. They did not say baruch shem kevod malchuto leolam ve'ed. So then the Gemara asks, why do we say baruch shem? And the Gemara brings down the famous story about Yaakov Avinu. By Yaakov Avinu, it says that his children came to him. He wanted to be megaleh them the cates. But then Hashem was sotein, didn't allow him to give over the cates. He started to worry that there was something wrong with his children, that they were not all shalem in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his children said to him, Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, Yisrael, hear me, Yaakov, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yaakov responds to them and says, Baruch Shem, Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed. So that's Yaakov's response to his children's statement. But the problem is that if you go to Parshat Et Chanan, where Shema Yisrael is found, there is no Baruch Shem Kavod written over there. So what do? That's what my answer is, Anachno Amrim Oto B'Chashai. We say it silently. We say it, we can't not say it, because Yaakov Avinu did say it. We can't say it, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he put it in the Torah, when he written the Torah, it wasn't there. It's not explicitly there. So the compromise is to say it quietly. We'll say it, but say it quietly. So here, Rabbi Yehuda says, the problem is, Mafsikim ayu ela shlo yomrim baruch shem kavod malchuto leolam ve'ed. They did not say baruch shem, and that was the problem over here. So in terms of korchim et hashma, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not really an issue, because he says everything shlo b'rtzon chachamim. Question is whether michu b'yadam alo michu b'yadam. So these were the things, shlosha shlo michu b'yadam, they didn't object explicitly. But they were upset. Shlo b'rtzon chachamim. The problem is, according to Rabbi Meir's shita, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that there were shlosha b'rtzon chachamim and shlosha shlo b'rtzon chachamim, one of the items that was b'rtzon chachamim was korchim et hashma. So that if you explain korchim et hashma to be something innocuous, something not so problematic, then it's okay. I can understand why Rabbi Meir says that it was b'rtzon chachamim. The problem is here, the Gemara in the Bavli says that Rabbi Meir's opinion is, what was Korchim et HaShema? That they said Shema Yisrael, V'lo Yom Mefsikim, they didn't stop. Well, since they didn't stop, that was Ratzon Chachamim, and we know that it's a negative thing. So over here, the Bavli says, that's Shitat Rabbi Meir, and this is something that Rabbi Meir says, Ratzon Chachamim, which is very difficult. If you go to the Tosefta, where that source from, where the Bavli quotes Shitat Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda from, over there in the Tosefta, Rabbi Meir is not mentioned. It's mentioned Stam. So usually we say, Stam is Rabbi Meir, but here, it may not be that Stam should be Rabbi Meir, because it really presents a problem. And over there, the Tosefta says, Ketzad kruchim et shma, omrim shma Yisrael, v'lo ayu mafsikim, period. Rabbi Yehuda omer, mafsikim ayu l'shlo yomim baruch shem kibod. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda's position clearly stated, but Rabbi Meir is not quoted here, because it's not necessarily Rabbi Meir's opinion. And if it is Rabbi Meir's position, it does present the problem of Bertzon Chachamim. The problem we have, or what we need to discuss, is that position of Rabbi Meir that's quoted in the Bavli, or it is also quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that lo yu mafsikim. What is it? Shelo yu mafsikim. So the Yerushalmi there in Psachim actually explains what it is, or seems to explain, as a machlok is actually what it is that we're speaking about. Yerushalmi says, Ketzad yu kruchim et hashma? Amar Rabbi Yachon, Amar Rabbi Zeura, Amar Rabbi, lo shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, ela shlo yu mafsikim ben teiva leteiva. They did not stop between each word. That's the position of the Yerushalmi. Yehuda Omer, similar to the Bavli. And then they have a different, like almost like an ikadamri over there. They did not stop between Echad, the Baruch Shem Kavod. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda again who says Mafsikim, but they didn't say Baruch Shem Kavod Makotod Lambed. So in the Yerushalmi, which has two Lushonot about what it means that they said Shema Yisrael V'lo Yom Mafsikim, one Lushon says that they were not Mafsik ben Teva le Teva. And the other Lashon says that they were Mafsik ben Teva Teva, but they were not Mafsik between Echad and Baruch Shem Kivod. They did not stop between the end of the word Echad and the beginning of the next piece, which is Baruch Shem Kivod Makot Olam Ved. So based on that, let's look at our Rishonim over here. Rashi over here in our Gemara quotes the piece of Yerushalmi, Shelo Ayu Mafsikim Lo Diten Mebrach Ben Teva Teva. He quotes what the Yerushalmi says of Ben Teva Teva. In Psachim, Rashi in Psachim actually quotes the Yerushalmi, but the other side of the Yerushalmi. And over there he says that Korchim in that Yerushalmi is Lo Yom Mafsikim Ben Echad Lehafto. They were not Mafsik between Echad Lehafto. Now Rashi, when he quotes the Yerushalmi over there, does not quote it like the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi says they did not stop between Echad and Baruch Shem, implying that they did say Baruch Shem, they just not stop between Echad and Baruch Shem Kavod. The way Rashi has it in the Gemara Pesachim, he quotes the Yerushalmi, that Lo Yom Mafsikim was that they didn't stop after Echad before they said Bahafto. So it's clear, according to Rabbi Meir, according to that first position of Rabbi Yehuda, that they didn't say Baruch Shem. But they also didn't stop between Echad and Bahafto. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they did stop, they just didn't say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Olam Ved. But the Yerushalmi doesn't exactly say that. The Yerushalmi seems to indicate that they said Baruch Shem. So Rashi brings down a second shita in Pesachim that says Korchim is Kumar Shem Medbikim Koriya Komochi Vloyu Mosifim Itigarse Shomrim Baruch Shem Kavod Machutol Omleh Perish Shayum Otobu Koram. Rashi brings that different girsa that they said Baruch Shem Kavod, but they said it out loud, which was problematic. So that's the other girsa that Rashi brings down. None of them really fit exactly into the Yerushalmi. Over here, Tosfot describes what he thinks the issue is. Tosfot says that he thinks the problem here is that they were not mafsik between Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. So that he says both here and in Pesachim, he says the problem was that they ran through it. Lo mafsikim ben teva leteva is that they said Shema Yisrael Hashem. Not the way we would read it, Pashtut, which Tosfos says is Shema Yisrael, listen or hear, O Israel, and then Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is the God. Hashem, that same Hashem is Echad. Although then if you read it without pausing, without parsing it that way, then if you're not mafsik between Yisrael Hashem, Shlo Yinirak Omer Yisrael, that they shouldn't be like Shema Yisrael Hashem. Bnei Yisrael, listen to Hashem. Not Bnei Yisrael, listen to the following items, but rather Bnei Yisrael, listen to Hashem, and then Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It doesn't make so much sense. So that's what Tosfos says both here and in Pesachim. The problem was that they were not mafsik in that way. The Rokeach, one of the early Rishonim, brings down that the problem was, and the makes a lot of sense, is that they were not mafsik between Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem, which is exactly what the Yerushalmi says. So Rokeach brings that as the Yerushalmi, as Rashi brings it down as a problem, but pausing between Baruch Shem and Va'afto. So the Shulchan Aruch, when they codify this, the Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, and he says, number one, Achar Pasuk Rishon Tzarich Lomar Baruch Shem Kavod B'Chashai. After the first Pasuk, this is in Shulchan Aruch, Chaim Siman Samach Aleph, See if you're Gimel, that after you say Shema Yisrael, you have to say Baruch Shem. That's based on the Gemara Pesachim, quietly. Then, Tzarich Lafsik Ma'at Ben Leolam Va'ed Le'ahavto. You have to skip a little space between Baruch Shem Kavod Ma'akotot Olam Va'ed and Ahavto. K'dei Lafsik Ben Kabbalot Omolachot Shemayim L'Shar Mitzvot. So that's what Rashi says in Pesachim. Rashi doesn't have Baruch Shem Kavod. That's Rashi's understanding in Pesachim. Rashi's understanding in Pesachim is that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Kabbalot Omolachot Shemayim. Ve'ahavto is already a tzivu, is a mitzvah. So you have to separate between these two items. So you have to stop, you have to pause after Echad, and then only then begin Vahafta, to show that these are two different issues, two different items. One is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, and the other one is Vahafta. Now that we say Baruch Shem, so the same thing will apply as well, that you have to stop after Olam Va'ed before you say Vahafta. On the other hand, you have the Haggah, the Ramah says, V'yeshav Sik, V'pasuk Rishon, Ben Yisrael L'Hashem. You have to stop between Yisrael L'Hashem, that's like the Tosafot, U'ben Elokeinu L'Hashem Hasheni, it should be Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Like the Tosfot says, Kadesh lo yinishma, Shema Yisrael, ki Hashem, Shu Elokeinu, Hu Hashem Echad. It doesn't sound that way, that's what's down by the Tosfot and the Rokeah. V'yesh lafsik ma'at ben Echad l'Baruch. Ramah also brings down that you should stop a little bit between Echad l'Baruch. Ki kar kabbalat ol malchut shemayim hu pasuk rishon. It says, listen, according to Rashi and Pesachim, what's kabbalat ol malchut shemayim? Shema Yisrael. Baruch Shem is not really part of a kabbalat ol malchut shemayim. And that's the secret difference. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rokeah, and the Rokeah who says that you pause after Baruch Shem and start Ahavta is because he thinks that Baruch Shem is a subset or a part of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, therefore you pause afterwards. Whereas the Ramah brings down the Abudraham and others that say, like Rashi and Sachim, that it's a pause after Echad before Ahavta, but now it's Echad before Baruch Shem, because Baruch Shem is not really part of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. Shema Yisrael is the Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. Baruch Shem is a response to that, but it's not the Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, so therefore you have to pause beforehand. So then in that sense, you have to pause after the word Echad before Baruch Shem, and you have to also pause after the Olam Va'ed before Vahafta, that way you accomplish both of these. The Shulchan Aruch brings down Tzarich Lafsik Ben Hayom Al Levavecha, which is Shitat Rava. And the last thing that he brings down is the Shitat Rabbeinu Yonah. Shitat Rabbeinu Yonah, which is found in the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachot, says that the problem of Korchin and the Shema was that they didn't read the Shema B'Tamim. They didn't read it with the Truv. They didn't read the Shema with the Truv. They were attaching the words and they weren't parsing the words correctly because they didn't read it with the Truv in the Torah. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Tzarich Likrot Piyat Shema B'Tamim, Kamo Shu B'Torah. Should read it like with the Tamim, like Shitat Rabbeinu Yonah. The Ramah brings down, but the minog is not to do this, because people who are medactic in the Tamims get lost and make mistakes, unless you know the Tamim well, and it won't interrupt you. If you know the Tamim well, you can do it. It says, Harizeh Harizeh Meshubach. But you shouldn't do it if it interrupts your ability to concentrate on the Shema. So we see all the different interpretations of Rishonim that are brought down about what Korchim et HaShema is. All of those are brought down, the Halacha in the end, by the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. Therefore, the only thing that is hard to understand that we have to leave out is about Rabbi Meir. Why is it that Rabbi Meir, who says that it was Bertzon Chachamim, he's the one who quotes, or is quoted by the Babli as saying all these items that we don't do? Why should that be Bertzon Chachamim? That's one difficulty that is hard to understand in the Gemara and Pesachim, as well as over here. But at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it was Shelo Bertzon Chachamim, we understand why all of these halachot are brought down. We have the Rashi, the Tosafot, and the Rabbeinu Yonah, then as well as the Rokeach, who brought them all down the halacha, because they all say that was the problem of Korchim et HaShema, as well as Shita about Hayom Al Vavecha. The Gemara continues now. Tanan Hatam, Velu Mafsikim LePeah. These items split a field into two parts, so that you may not take Peah off the entire field. I mean, now the fields will be deemed as being multiple fields, and from each field you'll have to separate out Peah. Hanachal, a river. A Shalulit. Shalulit is a puddle, and a rain puddle. Tosfot talks about anything that's not a body of water that's not flowing. V'derech HaYachid, V'derech HaRabim. The place where the Yechidim walk, and Derech HaRabim. So here, Derech Yechid is about 4 amot wide, and Derech HaRabim is 16 amot wide. Why does it have to tell you if Derech Yechid is Mafsik? Why do you have to talk to me about Derech HaRabim? That has to do with the Seifa of this Mishnah in Peah, where it talks about what is not Mafsik for Ilanot. So over there, it's more significant. Ushvila Rabim, Ushvila Yechid, the Shvilim of the Rabim and the Shvilim of the Yechid, Hakavua, that are available both Bimot HaChama, Bimot HaGishamim, that are around both in the summertime and the wintertime, because if they are not there all year round, Rashi says they're going to be too tsar, they're going to be too narrow, and they will not be mafsik. Again, the Mishnah Peah discusses what's the chiddush of adding in Shvil HaRabim and Shvil HaYachid. If you know Shvil HaYachid, obviously Shvil HaRabim is mafsik. And there again, the Gemara discusses the chiddush of that Mishnah, that it comes to even exclude a case where it was kavua bimoto chama and not bimoto gashamim. So it tells you that the Shvil HaRabim is only a mafsik when it is there all year round, not when it's just there in the summertime. Vabur, and a field that is left fallow. year and a field that is plowed but not planted, v'zeracher, or another crop that is placed in between, v'kotzer the shachat, and if someone already chopped down a portion of the field, he began to be kotzer the field, the shachat, to use for feed for the animals, mafsik, divrei Rabbi Meir, all of these items are mafsik, break the field in half. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion, and therefore you can only give payoff from each piece separately. They're not a joint field. Chamim ain't mafsik, elim kein charash. Chamim responded to the last statement of Rabbi Meir, that a kotzer the shachat, if you harvest it for use for feed, you harvest it earlier in the growth process, then that's only true if you plow the field over afterwards. But if it remains where it is, then it's really tchilat ktsira. It's just the beginning of the harvesting of that field. And so this part you began earlier than the other parts, but it's still one field. So Chamim say it's only considered to be a mafsik when you plow through the area that you were kotzer. So Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, b'shita at Rabbi Shimon, Amra. The Rabbi Meir is in the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Damar yiktzor v'yachil af shesh v'yashlish. Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, that says that you can do ktsirat even after the grains are grown more than one third of their maturation. You're still allowed to cut it before the omer because it's not classified as ktsirat. So you see, even when it's grown to a height of above a third or a maturation above a third, it's still not classified as ktsirat. So too over here for Rabbi Meir, when he says you're kotzer l'shachat, you began the ktsirat process by doing shachat, Chamim say, well, that's the beginning of ktsirat, so it's not a mafsik between the fields. Rabbi Meir says, no, that's not classified as a ktsirat at all. Just like Rabbi Shimon on our Mishnah, it's not classified as ktsira, therefore it's not a problem to do before the Omer. And according to Rabbi Meir, it will be a mafsik bin peya. Mar says, Alma kuchsavar kol shachat lav ktsira hi. You can see from Rabbi Shimon believes anything that's done the shachat is not considered ktsira. And so too Rabbi Meir will feel that anything that is done the shachat is not ktsira. And since it's not ktsira, it's a mafsik, it divides the field in half. So Yativ Rabba v'kamer lahada shmaito, he was saying over this what we just explained, Eitve Rav Acha bar Huruno, the Rav, he asked a question on this. If locusts come along and eat a portion of the field, ants came and they bored into the bottoms of the grains and they ruined them. Shavartua ruach, he had strong winds that broke the stalks. Hakol modim, everybody agrees. Now, kol modim would be both Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. Charash mafsik, if you plow it over, it's mafsik. Lo charash, eno mafsik. If it's not plowed over, it's not mafsik. So now we have a problem. Because if you remember in the previous mission that we brought from Peah, Rabbi Meir made a statement that you don't have to plow over a field that had beginning kotzer l'shachat. And over here, we seem to say that Rabbi Meir requires you to plow over the field like the Chachamim. So how do we reconcile between the two opinions of Rabbi Meir here? So that's what the Gemara explains now. Hakol modim, everybody agrees, who is that? Man Rabbi Meir. That must be Rabbi Meir, because the Chachamim's position we know is that you have to plow over the field in order for it to be a mafsik, whereas Rabbi Meir said no. So now when we say hakol modim, sounds like Rabbi Meir agrees also. So yamar bishlamo matznita and bishlo evi ashlish. If you explain the Mishnah from Peah as being a case where the grains had yet to grow to one third of their maturation, and that's why Rabbi Meir says it's not classified as ktsira. Whereas the Braita, the Chareshin, no Charesh lo, but the case in the Braita where we say that you do need to plow it is a case b'shevishlish, when it's already above one third of its maturation. So Rabbi Meir will be mechaleik. If it's less than one third of its maturation, then it's not classified as ktsira, and it's mafsik in the field. Whereas it's above one third of its maturation, it is considered ktsira. If it's considered ktsira, he agrees with the Chachamim, that's the beginning of the ktsira process, and therefore you'll have to plow it over. And that's how we'll reconcile between the two opinions of Rabbi Meir. But what that does show you is that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says even above a third of maturation, it's not classified as a ktsira. Yet Rabbi Meir, if we solve the problem this way, does hold that. Ella, yamart matnita nami b'shevishlish. But if you want to suggest now that our Mishnah in Peah is even when it's above one third of its maturation, that he's holding like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, hashta umahotam diktsira. Over there where you're actively doing ktsira, Rabbi Meir says you don't need to do harisha plowing over, then by the case of the bright, Amar Meir lo shma ktsira achalokoshkein. Over there, he calls it that it's not ktsira. And certainly, the cases where locusts or ants came and destroyed parts of the field where it's not intentionally ktsira, that certainly should be mafsik and should not be a problem of ktsira. And why do you need harisha? So that can't be the case. Elo Rabbi Meir must be holding like someone else. Veshita Rabbi Yehuda Amra. Rabbi Meir is talking in the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Damar ematai bizmachit chidil achloi vishlish. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah who says ematai. We had a statement by the Tanakam in the Mishnah, which says that a kotzer l'shachat and machil beima, that a person who cuts down shachat and gives it to beima is not classified as a ktsira, is not a problem before the Omer. And Rabbi Yehuda on that says ematai. Ematai, we know the Gemara tells us that other places means Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to disagree with the Tanakama, but rather to define or explain the Tanakama. So beimatai b'zman sheyitchil ad shuvei shlish. That's only true until it reaches one third of its maturation. Aval dimitchil ad shuvei shlish. Once it's reached one third of its maturation, asur. So now, based on that, we're going to say say that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a difference between above a third and below a third. Above a third, Rabbi Meir will agree with Rabbi Yehuda that it's considered ktsira. And if it's considered ktsira, then only if you're choresh, you plow it over, will be mafsik the field. On the other hand, below a third, like Rabbi Yehuda, it will not be classified as ktsira, and therefore you will not need to plow the field in order for it to be mafsik, because the field is automatically nifsak, because you didn't begin a process of ktsira, you did something that's not called ktsira. And therefore Rabbi Meir will hold like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, not of Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says, well, can he really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Because Imor Dishmaitle the Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, we know that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about Behema, La Adam Mishmaitle. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is dividing between above a third and below a third when it comes to an animals. Because the beginning of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah says, Akotso the Shachat, Achil the Behema. And we said before that Rabbi Yehuda is modifying the Tanakhama. So that means that he thinks that Kotser here is only not classified as a Ktsira when you're doing it for animals. But implications from that are that if you did it for Adam, if you did it for a person, then Eino Chanami, it would be considered Ktsira, even below a third. And Rabbi Meir, when we're talking about Peah, there's nothing there saying that it's for a Behema. There it sounds like even he does it for Adam. So Imkein, Dabulu, Tlato tonight. Because if you say that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees even by Adam and says that there's a difference by Adam, then you have three Tanaim in our Mishnah. You have the Tanakam who says only Machil Behema, Rabbi Shimon who says it's never Ktsira, the Shachat, and then Rabbi Yehuda say no, not only for Behema, but even for Adam. And again, we said that Ematai in the Mishnah, when Rabbi Yehuda says Ematai, when he says Bamed, Vermamurim, that means that he's coming to argue. When he says Ematai, he's coming to qualify. That means he agrees with the Tanakama, and there is no such third opinion. Ella, we have another option of who Rabbi Meir holds like, and this would be the final answer, which is Kiyat Rabdi Amra, Rabbi Meir Bishita Rabbi Kiva Rabbo Amar. Rabbi Meir's position is in the sheet of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. So not like Rabbi Huda, not like Rabbi Shimon, but rather like Rabbi Akiva. That he says, Afva Adam Nami Lo Avi Ktsira. Even if you're called to the Shachat for an Adam, it's not classified as being Ktsira. Ditznan, we have a Mishnah. Haminamer Sadeh, Vishayer Bo Klachim Lachim. Person who goes ahead and makes the Sadeh spotted. He does every other row he takes out of the field. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Hiyadu Chol Echad Ve'Echad. Then every row that remains, you must leave separate Peah. Chamim say, no, you can put one payah for the whole thing, because when he cut the rows in between were the beginning of Ktsira. Since they were the beginning of Ktsira, then it's still classified as one field. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva says, no. When you cut to the Shachat, that's considered to be not Ktsira, and since it's not Ktsira, you haven't begun the process of Ktsira, these all become separate fields then. That's only true when you're cutting it down the Klayot to use to roast them, meaning that when it's less than one third. When it's less than one third of its maturation, you're cutting it down to roast the kernels, then that's true. If you're doing this to put it into the storehouse, then look. Then over there, he says, no way, because when you're putting it in the storehouse, it's clear that you're beginning the process of Ktsira. You're not doing this the Shachat. You're suggesting over here that there's a difference in Rabbi Akiva between Lo Tzar and the Klayot, meaning that less than a third of maturation, he says, Akotzo the Shachat is fine. It's not considered Ktsira. Above a third will be considered Ktsira. So that's your suggestion. Rabbi Meir will hold like Shita Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Meir will have his position. He'll be able to explain the Mishnah. He'll explain the Braita of Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah is talking about less than one third. That's why you don't need Harisha. The Braita is talking about more than one third of maturation. That's why you do need Harisha. And he's holding like Rabbi Akiva. Mar says, well, that's not really true. Rabbi Akiva's position is that even above a third, it's still not to be considered Ktsira. Because you have Ata Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mechaiva, Rabbi Akiva, Afim, and Amar Otsar. That even his Menemar Otsar, we still say that it's not considered to be Ktsira, like Rabbi Shimon on our Mishnah. So Rabbi Shimon on our Mishnah is like Shitat Rabbo. Rabbi Shimon by Yochai, the Mishnah is like his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, who says it's never considered to be Ktsira when I go to the Shachat, no matter what you do. So Gemara says, Savarle Kavate Bechado, Palagle Bechado. He holds like Rabbi Akiva that a Kotel Shachat, even for Adam, is not considered Ktsira. He disagrees with Rabbi Akiva about the one third. He says that one third is a threshold. Rabbi Meir says it is a threshold. Below a third is okay, it's not Ktsira. Above a third is considered Ktsira. As Rabbi Akiva does not differentiate. Now, truthfully, as Tosos points out, you could have said the same thing in Rabbi Shimon before. Rabbi Shimon has that same opinion as Rabbi Akiva now, and you could have said that Rabbi Meir, Savarle Kechada, Palagle Bechada, that he agrees with one portion of Rabbi Shimon and disagrees with the other. Because the reason that Kamar didn't do that is because Rabbi Kiva is the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. So we're more apt, or we're more willing to set up Rabbi Meir like his Rebbe, Rabbi Kiva, and say that he holds like him in a partial way. But Rabbi Shimon was a contemporary of Rabbi Meir. We're not going to say, oh, he holds like him but one and not the other. Kamar felt more comfortable saying that in the Shita of Rabbi Kiva and not in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop over here.